Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
When I was in my 20s, mid-20s, just about to head off to Bible college, I can remember attending a birthday party. I think it was an 18th. And I remember the birthday girl, when it was time for her to give her speech, she thanked her pastor for teaching her the Bible. And that was a moment for me, and it's a moment that continues to shape my ministry right up until today. You see, I want to teach you the Bible, but that is not my end goal. My end goal is to help you treasure Jesus above all treasures, to help you know, to help you love, to help you just joyfully worship Jesus. We are people of this book. And the reason we are people of this book is because this book is the living and active word of Jesus. Now, as I mentioned last week, we have a big tradition around the Point that the last sermon of every year is on prayer. The first sermon of every year is on this, the Bible. And so I'm using this year's sermon on the Bible to tease out the relationship between the Bible and Jesus. You're here today because either you're already part of the family, and so you want to grow more and more and more in love with Jesus. Or you're here because you're checking out Jesus, and so you're wanting to learn more about Jesus. And this is the book where we learn from. This is the book from which we learn. But here's the critical point. The goal of our learning is not learning. The goal of our learning is worship. We're designed to worship our Creator. And worship, that requires love and joy and desire. The devil knows more facts about Jesus than you and I do. And he hates Jesus. Jesus had horrible things to say about religious hypocrites who had memorized their Bible but were far from God. And so it's possible to know your Bible and yet be far from God. Yet at the same time, it's impossible to be near to God without the Bible. What's another name? What are other names we have for the Bible? What else do we call this thing? Scripture? Daily bread? The Word? And something else I heard as well. The Bible, and there's lots of other names that we give it, and the one that I'm trying to tease out right now is the Word of God, the Word, all right, even to shorten it down. And what we also know from John chapter 1, verse 1, is that Jesus is called the Word. And so in a nutshell, that's why God's people are Bible people. God's people are Jesus' people, and Jesus is called the Word, and the Word is the Bible. That's in a nutshell everything I want to say to you tonight. Should we just go home? Here's how I'm going to tease it out. We're going to firstly look at Jesus is the incarnate Word. Then we're going to look at Jesus is the gospel word, and then we hear Jesus through the written word. That's where we're headed tonight. Firstly, Jesus is the incarnate word. You got your Bible open, Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read that passage again. Philippians 1, Philippians 1, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. I can still remember struggling over this passage, not understanding it until someone preached it to me and I went, aha, I now get it. Imagine the Australian government decided to outlaw Christianity and they decided to lock away, you know, Christian pastors, put them in jail. And so there I am, put away in jail, locked away just for being a Christian. I imagine some of you, if not most of you, might become fearful for your own freedom. Now, if I was a good pastor, I'd try and get word to you. It's all good, brothers and sisters. My imprisonment has actually led to the advancement of the gospel. Everyone here in prison knows that I'm here for Jesus. And not just the prisoners, but all the guards, they all know it as well. And I've had more opportunities to evangelize than I've ever had in my life. And what's more, other Christians have now become even more bold to evangelize as well. And yep, some people are still saying things about me out of jealousy. Doesn't really matter. Whether people are saying things about me for good or think people are saying things about me for bad, doesn't matter. God's in control and the gospel's going out. When Paul wrote the Philippian letter, the letter to the church at Philippi, he was in prison. And Paul wanted to encourage the church, but not just simply encourage the church to be more bold, but to be joyful. That's the background to this passage. But like I said before, I just want to use this passage now to tease out the relationship between Jesus and the Bible. You see, this passage helps us see the critical connection between Bible and Jesus. Have a look at this slide here. I've circled four phrases in red and I've circled two in blue. We're just going to look at the red ones first. First up, if we look at verse 14 there, and most of the brothers, sisters, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Okay, so speak the word. People are now speaking the word because I'm in prison. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry. Then down in verse 17, the former proclaim Christ, and then right at the end, Christ is proclaimed. And now that I just looked at that slide, I've remembered something. There's a phone number up the top. If you have questions during the sermon, you can text it in, and I'll attempt to answer them after we sing. Okay, so Q&A after the sermon. But did you notice just how smoothly this passage shifted from speak the word to preach Christ? It's saying the same thing. To preach the word is the same thing as to preach Christ, to proclaim Christ. Speak the word and Christ, synonymous, same meaning. John 1:1 makes the connection between Jesus and the word absolute. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And as we keep reading John chapter 1, we immediately see the word is another name for Jesus. Jesus is called the Word. And I just want us to think about that for a moment. You see, the longer that we're a Christian, the more and more comfortable we grow with calling the Bible, the Scriptures, the daily bread, the Word of God, or shorthand, the Word. But just for a few moments, I want us to think beyond the ink on the page and beyond the pages and beyond the binding, to think about the concept that sits behind word, the word. You see, the concept that sits behind word is that God speaks. God speaks. God is a speaking God. God communicates with us. Over 30 years ago now, mutual friends tried to set my wife and I up. So we hadn't met. I was living down Wollongong. She was living in the Blue Mountains. And they tried to set us up. And so for a few months, I had heard about Nicole. But it wasn't until we met and I heard her speak, her words. I engaged with Nicole through her words that I fell in love with Nicole. You're allowed to go, oh. So too with God. Now let that blow your mind. Almighty God reveals himself to you through his word. God speaks to you. That should blow your mind. You see, we're told in Genesis chapter 1 that the entire universe was brought into being through God's voice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're told that every Christian is supernaturally made into a Christian. That whole new heart thing happens through God's voice. And God speaks to you. And as if that isn't mind-blowing enough, here's the most extraordinary part of God's word. We just celebrated it. You know, it's the center of Christmas. Jesus is the incarnate word. That's a fancy word, isn't it? Incarnate. And so let me unfancy it for you. Last night, my family enjoyed some chili con carne. Yeah? It's one of my favorite meals. And con carne is Spanish for with meat. Another way we could say that is with flesh. And so now that we've heard that word carne or carne, if that's the way you want to pronounce it, we come back to the Bible word incarnation. And we can hear carne in incarnation. Incarnation is a fancy way of saying Jesus took on flesh. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of the Son of God. Remember, we read in John chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus is the Word. Well, we just skip down a few verses to verse 14 in John chapter 1, and we read this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh. Jesus became human. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus himself is the pinnacle of God's self-revelation. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says something very interesting. Jesus says, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." The ache we all have to be connected to the one who made us is filled by Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God embodied in flesh. So complete, so perfect, so full is Jesus' revelation of God that Jesus is not a revelation thing. Jesus is a revelation person. And to really top it all off, not only does Jesus reveal God, Jesus heals our separation from God. Jesus' incarnation was not simply revelation, but healing. Jesus did what you and I fail to do. Jesus perfectly lived under the law of God, yet it was Jesus who went to the cross. And Jesus didn't stay dead, did he? Jesus rose from the grave. He's defeated sin and death. Right now, Jesus is sitting on the throne of the universe. He is King. Jesus is the Word that we need. So in summary, Jesus is the incarnate Word. You see, friends, God is not a concept. God is not a theory. God is not a security blanket. God is real, and God is personal. Forever. I don't even know what that means, but it's real. Forever, God has existed in a perfect relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through Jesus, the incarnate Word, God is bringing us into that relationship. Jesus is the incarnate Word, which makes Jesus good news, and it brings us to our second heading. Jesus is the gospel Word. Okay, gospel means good news. What does gospel mean? You guys are brilliant. All right, on par with morning church, so okay, it was a tie this year. If this is your first time here, we have competitions between morning church and Arvo church. But yep, gospel means good news. Gospel, good news. Gospel, good news. Good news, gospel. So now that we've got that, let's look again at this slide. And this time we're looking at the blue phrases. I want you to know, brothers, sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that the gospel has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, sisters, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The reason I took us to Philippians chapter 1 is because of this interplay between the gospel and the word. And Christ, Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. He is the one that we teach other people and to each other. Jesus is the good news. Now, the original, the New Testament was originally written in this language, Greek, all right? And the original word for gospel is euangelion. You don't need to remember that. I'm just telling you this so that you can get this next bit. If you take all the Greek letters of euangelion and put in English letters, we get the English word evangel, the evangel. So we know that Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the euangelion. Jesus is the evangel. Now, still, it's only Bible nerds that use the word evangel, okay? But what we do use is good news. And gospel, yeah? Evangel sitting up the top. Now here's the real English lesson. You ready for it? Because what we often do use, though, is the adjective and the verb of the noun evangel. Have you heard of evangelical? Adjective. Have you heard of evangelism? Verb. So part of what I'm doing right now is just stop. I reckon we often get those two words mucked up all the time. Okay. We are an evangelical church. That's describing the type of church we are, which is saying we put the gospel, we put the evangel at the center of everything we do. And then as a Christian church, what all Christians want to do is take that gospel out to each other and to the world, yeah? We want to evangelize. Why am I slowing us down and narrowly focusing on the right use of the word evangel? It's because we got a English teacher in the room. No, not at all. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. This is the good news. This is the good news of Christ. He is the word that we continue to speak. Jesus is the one that we proclaim. We're on about the gospel. 30 years ago, I was wrestling with the question, what sort of pastor do I want to be? Do I want to be known as the pastor who teaches the Bible? Or do I want to be known as the guy who gives everyone Jesus? Now, on the one hand, it's a good question. But really quickly, on the other hand, it's a terrible question. You see, it is not either or. It is both and. And you wrestle with this tension too. Every time you question whether you really need to read the Bible, every time you think Bible study, Bible reading, listening to good Christian podcasts, reading good Christian books, is that just for the serious Christians? Every time you're tempted by the false teachers who say things like, I used to be one of those Bible gals or guys as well, but then I've discovered the ancient practice of meditation. I've discovered the ancient way of praying. But then I discovered the ancient practice of a rule for life. Every time you are tempted to think that Bible reading is anything but the foundational habit of tapping into the relationship with Jesus that you long for, tapping into the grace of God that you long for, you're pitting the Bible against your relationship with Jesus. And so here we're moving into our third and final heading. We hear Jesus through his written word. You know, it's tempting to think, yes, 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 I want more of Jesus. Yes, 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 I want more of the grace of God. Yes, I long to live and breathe for Jesus, but I find Jesus in creation. I find Jesus by getting out and doing stuff, loving my neighbor. I find Jesus in worship. I find Jesus in contemplative retreats. You see, the thing that's wrong with that thinking is the attitude. It's the attitude of, yes, 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 the Bible is important, but these other things are important too, which rather quickly leads to these other things are more important than the Bible. You see, it's only in the Bible that we hear the genuine evangel, the genuine gospel, the genuine good news. We find the genuine Jesus. And you know this. If I said to you, I really love hearing Nicole, but it's my silent retreats where I really connect with Nicole. It's when I look at some of Nicole's artwork that I really connect with Nicole. It's when I sit around and just think about Nicole that I really connect with Nicole. All of a sudden, it sounds like a world where I don't need Nicole to connect with Nicole. This is the written word of God. How dare we treat it as anything other than foundational to our relationship with God? You see, Jesus is the evangel. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the gospel. And Jesus, it's Jesus. He's the reason we believe that the Bible reading and the sermon from the Bible reading is the most important part of church services. More important than world-class singing. More important than intimate community that we long for after we do all of this. More important even than prayer. This is the Word of God. A couple of months ago, I went and bought a new one of these stands, lecterns. And I wanted to make it the one that sits here every time that we pray off, read the Bible off, preach off. And I actually stuck a bit of laminated paper on it with the words, give us Christ. You see, that's the job of the preacher. Not to give a lecture, to explain. It's to give us Christ. Now, that bit of paper has since disappeared. If one of you know how to make it stay, let me know. I saw this billboard driving back from my parents down at Wollongong yesterday, and a building company said, we build the homes of dad jokes. You know, dads are known for their jokes, and you've all got to live with a dad at some stage, don't you? Well, I'm the lead pastor that has a quirky thing, probably a few quirky things about me, John. Yeah, probably. But here's one of them. I don't like it, any staff member, any Christian, calling this the text. All my favourite preachers do it. The text says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But for me, this is the Word of God. Scripture, daily bread. It's not a text to try and sit on top of. This is the Word of God to submit to. You see, Jesus is after a relationship with you. What we need more than anything is a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is what you and I long for. And I know some of you have struggled with our church's focus on the Bible, and I do recognize that sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes it sounds like we're just about being up in the head and not enough about being in the heart and not enough about using our hands to go and serve. But at our best, what we are trying to do is help each other experience the best, the deepest, the happiest relationship with Jesus possible this side of heaven. And the foundation for that relationship is hearing Jesus's voice. And the place we are guaranteed to hear Jesus's voice is the Bible. The desire you have to love God more, the heart. The desire you have to serve God, to love your neighbor, the hand, is best fueled by hearing the voice of Jesus from his written word. The incarnate word, the gospel word, directly heard in the written word. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. Is there any questions? Taryn's just looking. Yep, all right. I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and then we're going to do some Q&A. Oh, Father, you could have created the world and then just left us all to sort of work out the puzzle. But you have always been a near God, a God who loves to speak to his people. And we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for this living and active book that for the Christian, we hear you speak. And so, Father, help us keep delving into it. Help us help each other delve into it. Not as a textbook, but to hear from our Father, to hear from our Lord, to hear from our King, because we want to become more and more like you. We want to fall more and more in love with you, and we want to tell more and more people about you. And so we do pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our later sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.